This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
Joining me now on the Cioli Show, Dr. Timothy Weingart is the author of a brand new book. I'm really excited about this book. Not so much the subject, but definitely the book. It's called The Mosquito, A Human History of Our Deadliest Predator. Doctor, thanks for joining me on the show. I'm happy you wrote this because, honestly, I think that people forget mosquitoes aren't just annoying. They're killers. They're deadly.
Well, thank you for having me. And absolutely, they are by far our deadliest killer across our human existence and have played a huge role in shaping our history.
So let's go back. You go all the way back. You talk about the fall of Rome, to the Crusades, to the Mongol hordes, Revolutionary War in America. I mean, all the way up, how mosquitoes have spread carnage. And I don't think people even realize that history about mosquitoes. They probably just think, all right, annoying, I'll put some off on, and that'll be the end of it.
Across our human existence, she's been far more, the diseases that she transmits. By itself, the mosquito is harmless. It's the diseases, multitude of diseases that the female is the only one that bites, transmits have been far more lethal than, you know, the minds of the most brilliant generals or any man-made weapons or inventions. And, yeah, across our history, she essentially had her way with armies in our culture and society, including the rise and fall of Rome. Now, Rome is was surrounded by something called the Pontine Marshes, which were a malarial hotbed. So in a way, when invading armies, whether it be the Visigoths, the Huns, the Vandals, came to attack Rome, they were shielded by this wall of malarious mosquitoes, if you will. And then eventually the endemic malaria started sapping the strength of Rome itself. And in the American Revolution, during the final year and a half, during the Southern Campaign that ended the war, the mosquito had her way with British forces who were not accustomed or acclimated to American malaria strains. And Cornwallis very clearly says that his surrender at Yorktown was caused mostly by malaria, and that he had roughly 35-37% of his troops left standing, and the rest were either dead or laid up sick with malaria and unable to fight.
So as much as I hate mosquitoes, I can credit my beloved country and winning the Revolutionary War. They get a little bit of credit in some way.
Sure. She's the Anopheles mosquito. As they said, only females bite. So she's essentially a founding mother of the United States.
Very good. I like that, by the way. So then, yet they chose to build our nation's capital on a swamp. So that makes no sense.
Well, it's interesting because Philadelphia, as we know, was the original capital of the United States. And in 1793, there was a lethal yellow fever epidemic that consumed Philadelphia. And you know, President Washington fled to Mount Vernon and couldn't govern. And he says this. And so there was talk of moving the capital. And Philadelphia had been in the running to be the permanent capital, but after this yellow fever epidemic, you know, no way, and they moved it to Washington, D.C., and purposely built the capital in his honor. And yes, it's quite ironic that literally, the area of Washington, D.C. was a swamp.
Amazing, and I've worked there in the summer, and it's awful. It's just so brutal, the heat and everything. Dr. Timothy Weingart is with me. He's the author of The Mosquito, A Human History of Our Deadliest Predator. It's a book out. You gotta read this. Unbelievable. Now, mosquitoes have slaughtered, what would you say, like almost a million people? Is that right?
The statistics vary over a wide range, depending on what the source is. But generally speaking, somewhere between 700,000 and 900,000 a year in the
past year.
Roughly 10 years. And we're certainly reducing the number of malaria deaths in the world, and the overall death rate from mosquito-borne disease is lessening. The exact statistics are as I said, it's a wide range, but while we're reducing definitively the amount of malarial deaths, we're seeing a rise or reemergence or emergence of other mosquito-borne diseases across the world, for example, Zika, and West Nile is pervasive across the United States and even into southern Canada. And now the big one that's making the biggest resurgence is dengue, and we're even seeing domestic cases of dengue being transmitted in Texas, in the southern United States. So they're not prolific killers like malaria, but they can still cause, you know, severe illness and sometimes permanent damage and death in the rare occasion.
Now, I'm assuming this is a typo on my sheet here, because it says with an estimated death count of 52 billion?
Across our human existence, there's been research done, and it's in numerous sources, and I kept coming across that the mosquito-borne disease has killed, you know, upwards of half of all human beings that have ever lived across our existence as Homo sapiens. And obviously those are statistical extrapolations and estimates, but that is a common common stance that you see in research regarding mosquito-borne diseases in our human species.
That's amazing to me. I got to ask the obvious question then. Was there at one point a pesticide, something that actually worked against mosquito populations? Was it DDT?
Yes, DDT, if we put aside its environmental degradation and its harm to humans in cancer rates, DDT was a wonder chemical in the eradication of mosquitoes. And the rates of mosquito-borne disease following the Second World War up until, you know, roughly 1960, were reduced dramatically across the world, especially on the fringes of malaria transmission from the heart of Africa. So DDT was a miraculous chemical, and there's obviously problems with it killing other things, and as Joni Mitchell said, you know, leave me the birds and the bees and the spotted apples. But regardless of that aspect of DDT, what actually happened before Rachel Carson wrote published Silent Spring in 1962, which documented, you know, the horrors of DDT, the mosquito had built up a tolerance and resistance to DDT. So there was DDT-resistant mosquito populations throughout the world by the time she published Silent Spring, and certainly by the time it was banned.
And so I guess then the question becomes then, what do we do? Why have we done more? Why are we still dealing with things? And let me ask you this too, just from a practical perspective, Dr. Weingart, somebody's listening, they're about to go get your book, The Mosquito, and sit outside and enjoy it. What can they do to protect themselves? Is there anything that really does work?
Well, I think to answer your first point, on a larger scale, there's a lot of things that are being done or, you know, attempted. We've been trying to fight malaria across our human existence, and thankfully, we've been like the ancient Egyptians. We're not thinking a cure is bathing in fresh human urine anymore, so that's a good thing. But obviously, the WHO, the CDC, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, there's research being conducted across the globe in laboratories and in the trenches themselves. CRISPR is the new hope, I suppose, which is the genome editing technology where we can snip out a piece of DNA essentially and replace it with a desired one, where we can CRISPR mosquitoes to make them harmless by making them incapable of actually vectoring these numerous diseases to humans. So that is essentially a new hope, and they're using bacteria as well. So I think because malaria has been relatively absent from the United States for such a prolonged period, we forget that it still exists in other parts of the world.
And then just sitting outside with my family trying to enjoy a barbecue, what do I do?
I'm at the end of the day, she'll attack any exposed target of opportunity. Certainly some of the bug sprays do help and do work, but again, she needs our blood to help, you know, grow and mature her eggs, and she's trying to procreate her species as well. So some people do get bitten more than others. Blood type O seems to be her preference as opposed to A or B or their blend. Stinky feet are not a good thing. The bacteria on our feet are a mosquito aphrodisiac. So 85%, give or take, of what makes you attractive or less attractive to mosquitoes is pre-wired in your genetic circuit board, and that includes the bacteria in and on your skin, the amount of lactic acid, carbon dioxide that an individual respires, body temperature. So there's things that are unfortunately outside of our control. And certainly some bug repellents do work. But as I said, she needs that blood, and she'll find it any way she can.
Oh, yeah. Even that 1 inch that doesn't have DEET on it, though, she'll find right that spot, you know?
Exactly. It's the Achilles heel. She'll find that one exposed target of opportunity.
Amazing. Well, Dr. Timothy Weingard, the book is The Mosquito, A Human History of Our Deadliest Predator, available everywhere books are sold. Thanks, Dr. Weingard.
Thank you very much.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.